I've just been working on stuff about being committed to the Lord. I just believe with all my heart that this is one of the serious main ingredients in the recipe for being the kind of Christian God would have you and I to be, is that committed. I said this morning, we talked about commitment, and I said commitment takes a hard walk with God. In other words, commitment takes a toughness and a hardening. I said that we read in Genesis chapter 37 that Joseph was hated by his family, was rebuked by his father and his family, and he was betrayed because of his dream, because of what God had given him and what he was committed to. And tonight, for just a few minutes, in Genesis chapter 39, I'd have you turn there, if you would, Genesis chapter 39, and let's stand, if you would, please, Genesis chapter 39, and you follow along. We're going to read the first three verses, Genesis 39, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we need you tonight. Holy Ghost of God, I pray you'll take control of this mind of clay and these lips of clay and this tongue of clay and help me to think and then speak precisely what you'd have tonight said to your people. God, I love you and I thank you for them. I thank you for the pastor and his family. I thank you these are my friends. And Lord, I pray you bless the pastor and his wife, and I pray they'll be able to get home as quickly and safely as possible. I know they're longing to get back, even though they're with family. This is their family here also. And Father, I pray you just bless them. Bless our church service tonight. God, I pray you help me to say what needs to be said in a timely manner. And Lord, in the way you'd have it said, Lord, hide me behind the cross of Christ, and then speak to me and through me, and give your people ears to hear and hearts to understand and apply your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would, even if you won't. As I thought this morning, as I preached this morning for a little while, we're talking about commitment. I'm not going to preach every message for the next 364 days on commitment, as God would give me liberty. I'm going to preach them as He tells me to, and I'm preparing some, and I've got a few prepared. I brought a couple of messages that I've been just kind of sketching things down in case God kind of change things up. I didn't know what to expect this morning and what God was doing, because I wasn't really settled. I was sort of settled where I was this morning. And I made the statement that in the Word of God, in your Bible, I said commitment is mentioned about 188 times in 175 verses. I believe God is serious about this thought, this idea of commitment. God expects us to understand when He says something once, it's of utmost importance. But if He says something 188 times, He uses the word 188 times, you kind of get the idea that it's very, very important to God. And if you don't, I'm telling you, it's very, very important to God. It's one of those words, like I said, it's one of the key ingredients. When I was going to Bible college, every time a preacher got behind the pulpit at Hiles Anderson College, every time they stood up to preach, they said, "I'm going to preach to you on one of the keys to the Christian life." The time I left college, man, I had about 6,000 keys. And I didn't know what in the world most of them opened. And I'm sure that those men meant well, but what they didn't understand was, man, they kept, everything was a key. But can I tell you, I don't say that a lot. I really don't. I rarely say that this is one of the key ingredients. But can I tell you something? If you're going to be the kind of Christian God would have you and I to be, I believe commitment is vital. I believe commitment is important. Nothing is going to get done and get done fully and completely unless we're committed to it. I mean, nobody wants... How many of you want a pastor that is only 50% committed to you and 50% committed to himself? How many of you ladies want a husband that's only committed to you about 70%? Nobody? 70% ain't bad. Oh, you ladies are greedy. You want more. How many of you men want your wives committed to you about 70%? Where's Sam? He's hiding back there. He's probably watching his girlfriend's service, ain't paying attention. That's okay. That's what I would be doing if I was getting married in 2 weeks. Just saying. I guarantee you, when Sam and his bride kiss at the altar, the pastor's not going to say, now I want you to give, it's 50-50. You commit yourself to your bride, but only 50%. He's not going to say that. He's going to say, this is a 100% commitment. We call it a vow of marriage. It's a commitment. Can I tell you, the Word of God is serious when God says, several times in the Word of God, I read these this morning, but God says in Psalm, commit thy way unto the Lord. He says in Proverbs, commit thy works unto the Lord. He says in Timothy, he says, Paul said, this charge, this Word of God, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. He said that we're supposed to take the Word of God, he said in 2 Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Commitment means to carry out. It means to do and to perpetuate. It means to give in trust or in charge. It means to bind and obligate or pledge with assurance. It means to entrust. Listen, God wants us committed. I believe in the Christian life, very little will ever happen outside of a committed Christian life. You'll never grow if you don't commit yourself to the Word of God. You'll never grow if you don't commit yourself to coming to church and reading your Bible and serve. You'll not grow. I believe, I say a lot of things. I'm an old man. I say a lot of things. Sometimes people get, and they get mad at me. And I apologize if I make you mad, but you get over it. But I believe today in our independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, King James, Bible-believing, temperamental Baptist churches, which I am one. I believe in our Baptist churches today, there is an absolute lack of commitment. How do you know that, preacher? I like statistics. I study statistics. I got all these websites, you know, where I'm looking at where Christian people have gone into churches and done all these, they've done their homework. And I like reading statistics. Do you understand that in the average church, about 30% of the people do the work that 100% of the people ought to be doing? About 30% of the people tithe. About 30% of the people go soul winning. About 30% of the people read their Bible all the way through in a year. Do you understand in the Christian realm, in what they call Christendom? Now that lumps us in with every lunatic other group in the world. But what they call Christian, which is very loose, do you understand that less than 5 out of every 100 people, 5% of the people ever read their Bible through in their life? Does that make any sense to anybody? There's like, I'm like, what? Now, good, listen, again, they've lumped us in with every fruit, flake, and nut that calls itself Christian. I didn't say California. Don't get upset. Listen, but here's what they said. They said that the average Christian never reads his Bible through, not one time, ever in his whole life. You know why? Because there's no commitment. There's no commitment. There's no commitment to getting in the Word of God and digging in the Word of God. We've got to commit our way to the Lord. We've got to commit our works to the Lord. Understand, this book is there's only one. There's only one. It's a one of a kind. There's only one like it in the whole world, and nothing like this book. Amen. Nothing. Nothing compares to this book. And I can't imagine being his child and having a love letter from Dad, not ever reading it. I've got love letters from my wife from when we were dating in a box. I didn't even throw them away. I guess I'm a junk collector. I keep everything. But those love letters are special. People send me birthday cards on my birthday, or they'll send me Christmas cards. I've got every one I've ever gotten. I've gotten letters from young people that I've led to, from people I've led to Christ, and letters from churches that I've helped, and I've got them all. Listen, I've never thrown any of them away. Every once in a while, when I get down, I go back and read some of the things that God has allowed me to be a part of. Listen, and it increases my desire to be more committed and stay at it. But can I tell you? If you're going to stay at it and live for God, commitment takes a hard walk with God. It's going to take some toughness. You're going to have to go through some things. But can I say tonight, and I won't belabor this point, it's 6:30. I'm going to have you out of here as soon as God's done with all of us. And I got the longest drive home, I think. But I believe tonight, not only does commitment take a hard walk with God, but I believe commitment takes a holy walk with God. I believe commitment takes a holy walk with God. We read in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1, when the Bible says, when Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And notice this. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Can I say, the Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. It was evident. Can I tell you tonight? Joseph, in the midst of being, I want you to understand the situation. He is committed to the dream God gave him two times. Two dreams God gave him. God said, this is my plan. You say, but he didn't understand it all. But he was committed to what God had showed him. Can I say he was just as committed to what God has showed him as you and I ought to be committed to what God has given and shown us? And can I say this vision and the plans and the truth that were from God was his personal contact? It caused him problems. It caused him to seriously ponder. It caused him to understand there was a great path that he was on. But listen. The course was going to have some difficulties. Going to have some difficulties and problems. And the Bible, listen, he had dreamed the dream. His brothers are mad at him. His father and mother are mad at him. I mean, everybody's upset with him that's close to him, that loves him and that he loves. And now his brothers want to slay him. We saw that this morning. His brothers want him to die. So what happens? They figured, we're not going to kill him. We'll just sell him. And we'll just get him out of our hair. And we'll tell Dad that an animal ate him and oh well. And they said this, and we'll see what happened to this dreamer then. Well, they sold him to the Egyptians. They got sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites sold him to the Egyptians. Potiphar bought him. Potiphar watched him, had him in his house, and you know what Joseph was? He was committed to his dream. He was committed to his Lord, committed to his dream, committed to live for God. He was committed to follow the path that God was on. You say, preacher, he's been sold into slavery. How can he stay committed? How can he stay on the path? Why would he stay on the path? Because he's committed to the God who gave it to him. And God said, one of these days, everybody's going to bow to you. You're going to be in charge of something. You don't understand right now what's going on. I just want you to trust me. I want you to commit your way to me and just trust me. This is the way. Just walk in it. Walk ye in it. Just trust me. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. You know why people follow? Because they're just committed. They're just committed. Listen, Joseph was committed. Now he's living in slavery. And the Bible says that, and his master, Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Can I say the Lord was with Joseph? It was evident. It was eyewitness. It was, listen, because it was executed and lived by Joseph in front of everybody. And the Lord was with Joseph and experienced by everyone around him. Everyone around him saw there was just something different about this kid. Can I say commitment takes a holy walk with God? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Joseph lived right. Joseph lived holy. Joseph, listen, while in Egypt, he was still a Christian. I've heard people say, when I was growing up, it was a common expression. Well, when in Rome, do as the Romans. That means when I'm, you know, if they're living this kind of way, you just go on in there and just fall in line and just live it up. Can I help you? When in Rome, don't forget you're still a Christian. Joseph had not forgotten his commitment to his God and his parents, that he was going to live and be a Christian. And he lived a holy life. You know, holiness isn't talked about much in our Bible-believing circles because, well, you know, people will get, they'll get offended if you tell them they got to live right. They'll get offended if you tell them that living holy is right. Can I say, the very first time the word holy is mentioned in the Word of God is in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Bible says, and he said, it is God, and he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. God, he was walking up on the thing, and God said, hey! Take your stinking shoes off. Place where you're about to stand, place where you're standing, is holy ground. Holy ground. Special, set apart, one of a kind. God said, hey, I'm here. It's holy ground. Can I say, God says in the first mention of the word holiness is in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, when he says, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? He's glorious. That means absolutely spectacular to look at in his holiness. Do you understand? God says we're to be holy, and that he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul said this, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Can I say there ought to be a holiness, and where now that we're saved, we set ourselves apart and we realize we belong to him and he deserves holiness out of his children. I wrote this down. I'll read it, because if I don't, I won't. It's kind of long, but I wrote this one night thinking about holiness. Holiness is a must be. Holiness is, and must be our personal decision that starts in the heart because of our love for God upon realizing all He's done for us. Then it will grow as we understand who He really is and what He really deserves from us. Then our decision gets processed from our mind to our body for refocused engagement in every area of our life and thinking towards holiness. And our refocused decision continues to grow by engagement. It propels us with a renewed effort toward our decision to be holy. We must persistently reassess our path in holiness. That means go back over and over and over and look at every nuance of our lives. We must renew our purpose of holiness for Him in a purer and more precise way. We must conduct our manner of life in holiness by placing it firmly on Him and on the old paths that'll bring the most glory and honor to Him. Can I say, my holiness engaged in my, as my holiness engages in its new effort toward an intimacy with Him, I will seek to look like He would want me to look. I will seek to act like He would want me to act. I will seek to speak like He would want me to speak. I will seek to treat people like He would want me to treat them. I will seek to dress like He would want me to dress. I will seek to go only where He would want me to go. I will seek to concern myself with what He is concerned about. He's concerned about the blood, the book, His body, the broken, and the billions that have never heard. I will seek to continually draw closer to Him, to know what He wants from me and for me, to know how He feels about me. I will seek to know how He feels about things I'm doing, how He feels about things that I'm not doing and should be, to know how He feels about the church and Christianity and the lost. Listen, I will seek to reflect. Listen, as my holiness engages in its new effort towards an intimacy with God and a holiness with God, I will seek to reflect His image in mine or from mine. And I will seek to live more holily and humbly in His sight. So holiness is serious. And I believe if we are going to have real commitment, and let me give you the definition. I said it means to carry out, means to do or to perpetuate, to give something in trust or in charge, to bind or obligate as by pledge and assurance, to entrust to safekeeping. Listen, God wants us to commit ourselves, to entrust all of us to His safekeeping. And I believe real commitment takes a hard walk with God. We're going to have to get tough. But a real commitment takes a holy walk with God. If you're going to be committed to God, we're going to have to be holy. We're going to have to set ourselves apart for His service and His will and His work alone. Do you understand? And I'm not preaching, listen, I'm preaching on commitment. We've got to be committed. In 2023, committed, you and I must be. The Bible says you are bought with a price. Then it says this, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Can I tell you, commitment is written all through that. You're bought with a price. God said, I've paid the price of your sin I've given my body and my blood. I took your place. I paid for you. He said, therefore, glorify God. Glorify. That means bring honor, bring glory. Glorify, that means bring to light who you are in God. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your spirit, your inner man. That attitude. Yeah, we're laughing. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to tell me what to do again. Wonderful attitude, Mr. Christian. I come in here this morning, and I've listened to your assistant pastor. I've watched him, you know, and he's so nice, I want to just yell, stop being so nice. Thank you for singing. Thank you for standing. He's just nice. I'm nothing like that. Stand up. Sing out. Shut up. Sit down. He's nice. That's why I'm an evangelist. They can't put up with me, and I don't put up with them. God bless you. I'll be out of here in a few minutes. No. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be several minutes because I'm on point number one, two, and I got three more, and you're not getting them all, because holiness is, I could preach for the next 2 days on holiness, because we've got to understand holiness is a commitment. God says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Therefore, glorify God in your body and you're bought with a price. Excuse me, bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Your assistant pastor reminded me and convicted me that I'm supposed to be nice. I don't like being nice. Being mean is a lot more fun. But just the way, I mean, just your pastor's the same way. He just, now when he's with me, now he might be a little different with you, but he's with me, he just, and I kid with him a little bit, but you know what? I come here and the services are just, There's a spirit here that's very, very good. You don't notice it. My church, same way. Just a sweet spirit. I've gone into some churches, and my messages that were kind, nice messages ended up mean. Because just the whole place is just, and people look at you like, you going to get done? I tell people, every time you look at your watch, I add 10 minutes to the service. And I got enough material, I can. I got another 6 hours worth of sermons over there. I preach till I ain't got a voice. I'm just saying tonight, I'm just afraid. I'm afraid tonight that we said, oh, preacher, we're committed. But don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me that I can't go out and have some alcohol. It's January. It's January the 1st. I mean, it's December 31st. We're going to go out and we're going to celebrate. Doesn't the Bible say a little wine for the stomach's sake? That's just because you don't know what the Bible teaches. You're welcome. I've studied this because I grew up in an Italian family. Wine ran in our house like water runs in yours. Amen. I'm telling you, the wine truck would drive by, and I mean, he delivered it to my grandfather. That's how much wine our family drank. My grandfather drank a gallon of wine a day. He didn't drink no water. Water. Who wants to drink water? Squeeze some grapes. Let them ferment and sour. I'll drink that. But you know what? I'm watching second and third generation Christians. You know what a second generation Christian is? I'm first generation Christian. I'm first person saved in my family. I'm first generation. Everybody else around me, they were all lost and undone. We were all lost. I was the head altar boy in my church, in the Catholic Church. I got saved out of that at 16 years old. God had to just rip all the nonsense out of me. It's taken some time. But I committed myself to Him and said, God, I'll do whatever You want if You'll just show me. And I got in the Word of God, so I've studied this thing. And here's what I see. I see a bunch of us first-generation Christians, man. We're like crazy people. Like, I can't do that, can't do that. Get right! And then I see second-generation Christians and third-generation Christians. You know, you got Grandpa, who's one of them crazy old mean preachers. And then we got children. They're kind of toeing the line, kind of, you know, I'm just... And then you got the third generation where they're just, oh, you people are crazy. You old-fashioned and square, and you just, you know, you just don't understand. I got feelings. I told if my grandchildren ever pull that, I'm going to say, come here. Let me see how you feel. I hit you in the head with this thing. We're just going to, you know, we're just trying to live our lives the way we think we ought to. Therein lies your problem. It ain't for you to think about. God said, I've already written it down. We've got no commitment to the Word of God anymore. We're not committed to the Word. He says, commit your God says this. Let me read it to you again in case you missed it. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit thy works unto the Lord. God says, you commit He says, and I'll take care of your thought life. He said, you commit your ways and your works to Me. But God, I got my own ideas. I don't need your ideas. I already told you what I expect. And we're not committed to the Word of God. We're so stuck on ourselves. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path.
Well, preacher, you just don't understand. I've got my own way. I would do it my way. I just want to live my life. I'm just going to do what I feel like I got to do. Shut up.
You needed to hear that January the 1st. We've got to make sure. Listen, it's not about me. It's about Him. And if I'm going to live for Him, if I'm going to bring Him honor and glory that He deserves, He says you'll do it by commitment. Committing your thoughts and your ways and your will and your desire and your wants. He says, you just commit yourself to Me and I'll take care of the rest. Listen to me. Commitment takes a hard walk with God, but commitment takes a holy walk with God. And Potiphar saw in Joseph a holiness, something, he didn't call it a holiness, but he just said, the Lord's with him. Now, Potiphar don't even know who God is. Do you understand? He's an Egyptian. They've got all kinds of things that are small G-O-D-S's, small gods. He has no idea. Potiphar says this, the Lord is with him. I can watch it, I can see it, and I watch the Lord bless him. That's pretty good when you got a lost heathen devil saying, the Lord's with him. You know what that tells me? Joseph's holy. He just holiness is just being set apart for God. Just, I'm going to live with it. However God says, that's what I'm going to do. That's all that I'm going to do. And that's the only thing I'm going to do. And I'm not going to worry about what anybody else thinks. Being committed to God and God's will and God's work and God's way. This is just how it is. Commitment. It goes on, and I got time. I'll get you out of here in just a minute. Let me get you this last point. I won't give you the last three. But commitment not only does it take a hard walk with God and a holy walk with God. You're there in Genesis chapter 39. Look at verse 4. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him, Potiphar, made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand." Do you understand what that just said? Everything that Potiphar had, everything that he owned, he trusted Joseph because he was a holy man. God says, Bible says he put, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Verse 5 says, "And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now, when I read that, it just blows my mind when I read that. Because here's what you have. You have a lost, heathen leader, wealthy. And you got this little Christian young man in charge of everything you have. And now you don't even know what you have. Because God's blessed it. The only person that knows really what you have outside of God is this little fella named Joseph. Think about this. Would you turn your paycheck, would you turn your checkbook and your life savings and your businesses over to somebody that was a slave in your house? Joseph is a slave. Can I tell you? The Bible says that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. And I said, commitment takes a hard walk and a holy walk. But can I tell you? I believe if you're going to be committed, commitment takes an honest walk with God. Joseph was honest. Joseph was trustworthy. He was honest. He served willingly. He served Potiphar. Listen. Most people in Joseph's condition, as a slave, the first thing they're trying to do is escape. I got to get out of here. I got to get back home. I got to escape. Not Joseph. Joseph was committed to God's plan. Joseph was committed to the dream. And he just said, "I'm on the path of God. And this is where God has me right now. This is where God wants me right now. And bless God, I'm just going to keep going in this path." And Joseph was honest. Because when in Egypt, you're still a Christian. And Joseph was honest. The Bible says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands." Can I say, Joseph served willingly. God says this in Isaiah, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." God said, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Joseph willingly, listen, he had an honest walk with God. He was committed with an honest walk. He was an honest man. Can I say, the Bible says in verse 5, "And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Everything that Joseph touched that belonged to Pharaoh, God blessed it all. And the Bible says he blessed it for Joseph's sake. Do you know why? Because Joseph was honest. Joseph was honest. Joseph served not only willingly, but he served wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Listen,
He blessed everything that Pharaoh had. Joseph didn't make any money on this. Joseph didn't get any kickback. Joseph was, he got food and a place to sleep, but that's all. He's a slave. But he's a committed Christian. He's a committed slave. He's committed to his dream. He's committed to what God had given him. Commitment takes a hard walk. He's taken the lumps and bumps from his family and all the situation. Takes a holy walk. Joseph, the Bible says the Lord is with him. Takes an honest walk. Honesty. Man, I heard it. If I've not heard it a thousand or two or 3,000 times, I've not ever heard it. Honesty is the best policy. Honesty is the best policy. Honesty is the best policy. Can I tell you something? You can trust a lot of people, but you can never trust a person that lies to you. Yeah. I told my children, I don't care what you've done, and you're going to do stupid stuff because you're related to me. You just are. The probability and possibility of you doing really, really, really stupid stuff, it does not come from your mom. It comes from your dad. Because your dad has really pulled off some humdingers, man. I've done some things that just, I've done some really, really, really stupid, wicked, vile, stupid stuff. I just have. That, praise the Lord, that's the past. But that don't mean tomorrow I'm going to do something stupid. You don't look like you've never done anything stupid. Maybe you haven't. I say this one time, my wife looks at me, she goes, I've never done anything stupid. And she really hadn't. I said, you got to live a little, girl. But the possibility of doing something stupid, and I told my children, I don't care what you've done. But remember this. A testimony takes years to develop and 2 seconds to mess up. If you lie to me, how do you expect me to trust you? I said, you can trust a lot of people, but you cannot trust a liar. I said, you tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, even if you know it's going to get you a whooping. I'd rather get whooped than be a liar. I'd rather get whooped and be an honest, whooped idiot than a liar. And I told my children, just don't lie to me. You know why I told them that? Because my dad looked right at me one day. I was a little guy. He looked right at me. I mean, this was a regular thing in our household. We weren't Christian. We were lost people. My dad looked at me and said, boy, I don't care what you do, and you're going to do stupid stuff because I've done it. And I don't expect you to live perfect, but I do expect you to tell me that every time you open your mouth, you speak the truth. He says you'll never have to worry about what you said or remember what you said because you just told the truth. You start making up lies, and you make up a lie now, you make up lies the rest of your life. He said, and I know some people that cannot, every time they open their mouth, they tell a lie. And I've met them. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't trust them. They're not my close friends. I don't trust them. I know people that they're just, you just don't know whatever comes out of their mouth is the truth. I know Christian people like that. I know lost people like that. I know people in the ministry like that. You just can't believe everything they're saying. And can I help you? If I can't believe everything you're saying, I'm probably not going to believe anything you're saying. Is that okay? Maybe I'm cynical. But I'm Sicilian Italian, and this is how it works. You lie to me. You can tell me the truth for the next 10 years. You know what I'm going to remember? That time you lied to me. Cheat on your spouse. Put your marriage back together. And 10 or 15 years down the road, something happens. They'll go, I remember! You're not getting that spot off. Tell the truth. Be honest. Don't cheat people. I don't cheat on my taxes. I just don't. I pay my fair share. Sometimes I think I'm paying way too stinking much. If I owe you money, I'm going to pay you. Why? Because I don't want to. I just think there's something about being honest. If I watch you drop a $20 bill out of your pocket, I'm not going to pick it up because you're walking off. I'm not going to pick it up and put it in my pocket and go, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Bless God, you dropped it, I found it. No, if I see you drop money out of your wallet, I'm going to go, hey, I think you dropped this. I've done that all my life. A couple of months ago, I've been doing that in front of my grandchildren. A couple of months ago, I've got my granddaughters. They watched an elderly person. I want to say it was an elderly man. He put his hand in his pocket to get his keys out, and he pulled it and money. I'm talking about cash. And my granddaughters are all about cash. It's like, woo! And they ran up. And I'm thinking, I'm about to yell at him. They ran up. And they said, sir, you dropped this. And I started to cry. I just lost it. I said, I taught my daughter that. She's taught her children that. He dropped like a lot of 20s and 50s. And I'm going, yeah. My granddaughter didn't even think it was hers. She saw him drop it. Sir, you dropped all this money. She's chasing it because the wind's blowing. She's chasing it. She found quarters and nickels and dimes that weren't his and gave them to him. He said, no, honey, these are yours. And then he gave her a dollar bill. And I went, give him that money back. I said, she don't need a dollar for being honest. She just needs to know what she did was right and honest. And you thanked her. He was thanking her over and over again. Can I tell you something? There's nothing like being honest. Amen. Nothing like being honest. I set my book table up in some churches. I got Bibles and books on there. They cost me money to put on there. I've come off of there, and I've been to some places, and people just, they think, okay, well, it's something back here. It's got a price on it, but it must not be a price for me. And they just help themselves. And I've come out of some good churches where I've lost $100 worth of stuff. I don't even tell the pastor. You say, why not? I'm telling you now, if you're paying attention, your people stole my money. I have no idea who it is. I'm talking about good churches, like this one. Now, it has never happened here, but I'm watching. And you know, if somebody came to my table and said, you know, I just really don't have any money, but I really would like one of these books, I've given people books. They're just paper that cost me a couple dollars. I've given people Bibles. If you don't have any money, if you didn't have any food, I'd feed you. I'm going to feed you the Word of God. I'll give you. But you know what I like? I like honesty. I like honesty. God loves honesty. Do you understand? God has never, ever told a lie, nor can he. A portion of the verse in the book of Hebrews says, God who cannot lie. You know what that tells me? He's honest. Everything he's ever said, he's told the truth. Everything that Joseph, God is committed to us. He teaches us to be committed to one another and to him. And he says, commitment is going to take honesty. We just got to be honest with ourselves, honest with one another, and we got to be honest with him. It takes an honest walk. Listen, Joseph served willingly. The Bible says that Potiphar, verse 6 says this,
And he, Potiphar, left all that he, Potiphar, had in Joseph's hand. And he, Potiphar, knew not aught he had save the bread which he just come to the table. Oh, I guess there's food. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. God put that in there for our benefit. Joseph was a good person and well favored. That means everybody liked Joseph. Potiphar loved Joseph. You know why? Because Potiphar could trust him. I want somebody next to me that I can trust. When I'm in a trench, and I'm in a foxhole, and I'm in a battle, I don't want somebody I can't trust. I don't want somebody who don't know how to shoot. I don't want somebody who don't know what they're doing. I want somebody I can trust. I want somebody I know is going to stay in the hole with me, that's going to die with me and not run off. I want somebody who's with me and that I don't have to worry about if I fall asleep, he's going to steal my wallet. I know people like that. I'm almost done. It's January the 1st. Happy New Year. You know what God wants? He wants commitment. 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. I knew guys that would go to work and never. I'm wondering, dude, what did you do today? How are you going to walk up to the boss and stick your hand out and let him give you a paycheck? You got to back into that thing because you didn't earn any of it. I don't understand how a Christian can disobey the word of God when it comes to giving and tithing. You're not honest. Say, preacher, you just don't understand. Yeah, I do. You're not committed to the word of God. You're not committed to the work of God. You're not honest with God. You don't think he knows? The Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. I saw your mission thing, and I'm one of your missionaries, and I got a raise this year. Thank you. That tells me there are some people, most people in this room, that are honest. But I promise you, not everybody that walks through these doors is going to be honest. How do you know that? They're just not. But if you're going to be committed to the Lord, it takes a hard walk. That means you're going to have to be tough. Because people are going to talk about you. They're going to laugh at you. And they're going to call you names. Oh, you the little Bible thumper, little Bible thumper. Oh, you one of them little King James people. Oh, you one of them little Grace Baptists. Oh, yeah, I bet you think you're better than everybody else. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I'm just trying to be the best me I can be. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, I am better than you, but I ain't going to say that loud, but I'm going to think, at least I'm trying. It takes a holy walk. That means you've got to be set apart for God. Committed, set apart. My body is mine, it belongs to him. My lips are mine, they belong to him. My mind is mine, it belongs to him. My hands belong to him, my feet belong to him. Everything belongs to him. And I'm going to set it apart for him and him only. Have a holy walk. And if you're going to be committed, it takes an honest walk. Honest. Just be trustworthy. Be truthful. Man, I can't hammer this home enough for you to understand there's nothing more important than being committed. Understanding it takes some hardships. It's going to take holiness, and it takes honesty. May I say, Joseph served wonderfully. Joseph was pleasing. Joseph was promoted. Joseph was prosperous, not only by God, but in his work. Joseph was pure in his motives and manners. He was precious to his master. Joseph was principled, and Joseph lived his life, and it was proven. He's just honest. And Potiphar put everything, entrusted everything into his hand. Can I tell you, even after, and I'm done, even after Joseph Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife wrongly and wickedly because she was a wicked devil. He went to jail, then there 2 years, lived, ended up running to jail, ended up telling everybody the truth. He's just honest. He goes before Pharaoh and just literally pours out his heart, holy and honest, to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "Who can find a wiser person than you?" And Pharaoh said, Pharaoh promoted him and made him second in command from a slave imprisoned to second in command under Pharaoh over the entire nation. The most prominent nation in the world at the time. The most powerful nation in the world at the time. And God used him because he understood the hardships of life and took them. He lived holy before God and the world, and he was honest. He was committed. Can I tell you something? I appreciate Joseph. I appreciate his commitment to his dream that God had given him. Committed to stay faithful and follow no matter what. I won't even have time to talk about the other three or four points I got here, but can I tell you something? God blessed him because he was committed. I want God's blessing, don't you? You know what it's going to take? Commitment. I just give myself to God. I'm all yours. And I'm committed no matter what comes. Come what may. I'm in. And I'm all in.